Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio Live. It's a pleasure to have you here today. Also a pleasure to have Martha King DeSilver, or Marty, as she is known in Morning Tippet circles, which is what we will say today. She is a PCC who got her earliest lesson about the power of coaching as a youth. When she was swimming competitively, and her father cheered her on with unwavering belief in her capabilities. Later in life, she struggled with some career choices and professional next steps and sought out the support of a professional coach. It helped Marty to find her future path. Today, as an HR professional with TI Consulting, as the founder and principal of Nascent Leadership Coaching, she supports all types of individuals, particularly emerging leaders, as they weigh their options and assesses their strengths and strives to get really to the next rung of the ladder. Marty also helps people adapt to the changing nature of leadership roles, which is often more about business development or technology deployment nowadays. She named her business Nascent Coaching because whatever work she does, it's always about a matter of growing, changing things, and taking shape and emergence. It's really about emerging as things come along. Many shades of meaning in that word, too. Her coaching practice has become a stellar success in a short time. And in addition to her PCC, which stands for Professional Coaching Certificate awarded by the ICF, Marty has more than 35 years of cumulative experience in leadership and human resource development. She holds a certification from a certificate from Georgetown University and master's degree in English and certification in the Leadership Circle 360. That's the assessment tool. Her education and expertise in English and years as a playwright, her other avocation, facilitate the storytelling and question elements in each coaching engagement. It's our pleasure to welcome Marty to our show once again here on Close Up Radio Live from Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. Marty, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for joining us here on Close Up Radio Live. Looking forward to our 30-minute invigorating conversation.
I am looking forward to it, too, and it's really nice to be back and chatting with you. We have a lot to catch up on in the last 3.5 years.
Well, I said the last time we would keep the porch light on for you, and we certainly did.
Thank you.
Did you bring the bundt cake?
I brought the bundt cake and a little holiday cheer as well. So
You got everything ready. You know, for our audience who maybe didn't hear the episodes from previous, let's talk a little about the work that you're doing, because I know you expanded so much as well. Tell us about the type of coach that you feel you are and some of the things that you focus on. Is it all leadership matters or other career concerns as well?
So I think of my coaching in sort of three buckets. The first bucket is the person who has been upended from their company or who has decided to make a career change and who is looking for a new opportunity. I do coaching to help people get ready for that next job. So that's bucket number one. Bucket number two is leadership coaching, where I focus on helping people to get to that next level, that next rung in the ladder in their professional organization and being able to let go of behaviors that perhaps serve them well and earlier in their careers, but perhaps not as much as they ascend to higher levels of responsibility. And then the third, which has really been an uptick in my work, is the sort of general career management coaching. I often find myself in a place where people will ping me in my day-to-day job at FTI Consulting, and they'll say, could I get 30 minutes of your time because I'm sort of struggling with sorting something through about my job and could use an ear to get some perspective from you. So I think it's both career search, it's leadership, coaching, but finally it is sort of the career management coaching. What am I doing in my job? Is it satisfying to me? I'm wanting something that I'm not getting. How do I figure that out? How do I go get what I want? What's the conversation that I need to be having?
That's important, right? Yeah, to thinking about
yes.
the conversation. What are some of those things about high-level careers and work-life balance that you're noticing shifted since the pandemic? You and I were just chatting off air about some of the changes that we've seen just in society. But when you're talking about folks in these high-level careers where they're trying to, even before the pandemic, they've been trying to manage work, life, family, all of it. How has that shifted? And do you think some of the job market changes that have occurred will be permanent?
All right. So those are two really big questions. So
Huge
changes since the pandemic, since we last spoke. I think the fundamental change, and this is the pandemic was terrible for so many people in so many ways, but one of the, if you want to call it graces, that the pandemic provided to everybody was that it was kind of a worldwide pause. Traffic stopped, travel stopped, socializing stopped. You were really in your home with your loved ones, and you weren't doing much of anything except, if you had the luxury to do it, working from home and trying to manage your families as they were getting their schooling. And one of the things that I think happened for people is they kind of thought to themselves, I have been running around like a chicken with my head cut off, and this is what it feels like not to be doing that anymore. And while it was really hard, particularly with people who had children who were doing online learning, and that's not really ideal for younger children, but while also trying to manage their jobs, there was a little bit more time spent with your family. You were not commuting to work. You were not traveling for business. You were really in your home. And what that did for people, I think, was remind them about what was so important that they may not have taken the time to remind themselves how important it was, that time with family, that quality time of just being a little bit still. What happens now that people are sort of being urged to go back into the office is there's a little bit of resistance about that. You know, I liked having a couple of extra hours a day when I was not fighting in traffic. I liked being able to sort of leisurely take my children to school, come back, do my work, maybe stop and have a lunch with my spouse who might also be working from home. And I think people are struggling with, do I really want to return to that life of kind of hecticness that I had before? And can I pull it back a little bit? So you see a lot of things online about coming back into the office and executives wanting individuals to come back because it's important, and it is. That's something else I'll talk about. But there's a bit of resistance because there was a little bit of freedom of being at home and kind of having a more flexible schedule, being able to dress a little bit more casually, roll out of bed, walk into your office, and turn on your computer. And by the way, I am talking about a specific kind of professional because many professionals did not have the option to go take their work from home. They had to be present. These are the essential workers, of course, and many professions demand that you have to be on site. So lots of changes. It's a struggle, for sure.
Yeah. Right, exactly. A real adjustment, and a lot of people also, you know, there's a great resignation. A lot of people just pulled out and said, you know, I think I want to do something that serves me in a different way, where I can serve people, you know, where I can inspire and connect humanity. A lot of people I noticed in the corporate world, even six-figure incomes, pulled away to do entrepreneurial things and create, and maybe they've always dreamed about something, and because they were doing the 9-to-5 and the heavy traffic and the long hours, they said, I think I want to do something that's specific that I've always wanted to do, and now's the time to do it since they have the time to sort of create it. Have you found that to be the case too? A lot of people leaving fabulous cushy jobs and just saying it didn't satisfy them in the way that it did, and something was yearning and burning within them that they have to express?
Well, I think it's presenting in the world that I live in. It's maybe presenting itself in a slightly different way. I call it less the great resignation and maybe the great reclamation of time, the great reexamination of what's important. And sometimes that means I want to go to a job where my hours are more predictable. I want to do things that have more of a purpose. But I definitely think the pandemic provided people with that reset of what is really important, because you were faced with loved ones getting gravely ill, maybe you getting gravely ill, long COVID, and suddenly your life flashed in front of you and you thought, is this really how I want to be living my life? And, you know, for people who cannot afford to sort of strike out on their own or take a job that doesn't have the same degree of pay, they're reevaluating their relationships with their employers and trying to figure out how do I do this and also continue to have the time that I reclaimed in the 2.5 years we were sort of in lockdown and still have that meaningful time, because I'm realizing that it's precious to me to spend time with family. It's precious to me to have a pause practice. It's precious to me to watch my children grow and really be there and seeing it happen. So I think it's a great reevaluation. The junior people who are coming up in the workforce, I think have always come into, they're coming into their work with sort of different desires than perhaps the people of the baby boomer age. They want to have work that is meaningful to them. They want to have work with a purpose. Some of those junior staff have never actually had a first job that where they came into an office 5 days a week. They started their careers virtually. So they are not necessarily racing to get back into the office because they like working from home or living with their parents and working from home, but they are also missing out on kind of the social aspect that I found so meaningful when I started out at work, was that all of my friends came from my job. So there are a lot of evaluations going on depending upon what stage of your career you're in. I hope that answered the question. I was sort of rambling
it
there.
It does,
but
yeah.
There's a lot of things happening. Yeah. And you did ask
all at the same time, yeah.
Would go back. If I thought things would go back to the way they were, and I don't think so, but I don't think the way things are today are necessarily the way things will be. I think we're in that transition state of kind of moving from pandemic to life as it was, and it's not going to be life as it was, but we haven't quite figured out what is the life that is today. I think we are all still navigating that to some degree.
That's a great way to put it. So what are some of the key characteristics from your perspective of being a strong leader? And, you know, a lot of times I think when people hear strong leader, they're thinking about somebody who's bold and maybe loud and determined and maybe even brash, just the strength of it. But there's a lot of people as well who are understated leaders as well, right? As much, and it can be very effective and strong and get things done and encourage and inspire people, being an understated leader, which can be a strong leader. From your perspective, you're in the world, this is you're on the front lines. What are some of those key characteristics, and has it changed over the years? I know positive self-image and resilience are very important personality traits, right?
Yes. I'll tell you the number one thing I think it is. And it's been something that's been rumbling around in my head for the past several months, and it's come up in a couple of conversations I've had with employees, and I just read an article about it today in the Harvard Business Review. It is kindness. Kindness alone isn't going to make you a great leader, but without it, you won't be a great leader. So, of course, I think creativity, having a strategic sensibility, getting the right people around the table to work with you, empowering people, not micromanaging, being somewhat of a risk taker. All those things are super important. The most important quality of being a good leader is being a kind leader, which doesn't mean that you don't make hard decisions. It doesn't mean that you don't have difficult conversations. It does mean that you do all this with a framework of compassion. It's important to have a difficult conversation with an employee because they need to know what they are doing well, and they need to know what they have to do better to grow and to be successful and to be a contributor to the team. You owe it to them to have that conversation. They deserve to have that conversation. It's really important, and I think you'll see, particularly with our junior staff, it's really important to have leaders who are actually care about not only your professional well-being, but your personal well-being. They know something about you outside of work rather than you being kind of the cog of the corporate wheel. When I think about leaders that I have wanted to go the extra mile for, it's none of the things that you think about that are attractive attributes about leadership, being creative, being entrepreneurial, being strategic, being smart, being hard charging. None of those things made me want to go through a wall for a leader. None of them. The thing that always made me want to go through a wall was the kindness that that leader displayed both for me and for other people on the team. I'm thinking about people that I work with today at FTI Consulting who I sort of work in a supportive capacity to, and without exception, everybody that I feel energized to go the extra mile for is somebody who treats me with respect, who has an interest in me as a person, who is appreciative for the hard work that I've done, who offers me a point of view that I might not always agree with, who I trust, all those things, and they're all delivered with kindness and care. That is the most important quality, bar none, for me.
Beautifully said, because that is so incredibly important. Absolutely, Marty. You named your private coaching business Nascent. I want to spell that out for everybody, N-A-S-C-E-N-T. What does that mean specifically for you, Marty, and how does emerging, you know, differ from healing or from therapy?
That is a great question. And when I was spinning around trying to come up with a name for my business, the thing that always stuck with me is the fact that I'm always finding people who are in that stretch phase of growing. They're searching, they're growing. You know, some people might say, if you're not growing and learning, you're just stagnated. So I'm super interested in people in that juncture of their career where they're about to take a next step, whether it's new job, in a different organization, new kind of job altogether, promotion, or they sort of want to do a reprioritization and reclaim the meaning that they no longer have for their work. All of that to me is growing. The difference between coaching and therapy, and I often laugh when I tell my clients this, is that I remind them that I'm not a therapist, although there are times when people will tell me that I feel like I'm their spiritual advisor, I am their therapist, because they feel it's therapeutic to be able to talk through the issues that they're thinking about at work. But the difference between therapy and coaching is one primary thing. I mean, therapists are healers. They are, many of them are deployed to sort of heal the past, the traumas of the past, the difficulties of the past. There is something that is ill or not working or needs to be healed. In coaching, there is not a presumption that there is anything to be fixed or healed. There is a presumption that we're in a partnership and that together, by me asking provocative questions and offering insights and observations, I can help you push to get to what you need to get to and uncover answers that are sort of rumbling around in your head, but you never take a moment to sort of reflect on them and think about how you might address them. So So there are the, it might feel good and it might feel therapeutic, which I'm delighted that it feels therapeutic, but I'm really careful to draw the distinction about what a medical professional, licensed clinical social worker does compared to what I do. I think there's some healing therapeutic effects, but it's really about the partnership. And the person in the partnership, the client, is the person driving the agenda. I'm thinking in particular about somebody I am currently coaching who was very clear with me about what they wanted to be doing and focusing on in their coaching, and also clear, which I loved, clear about how they needed to show up a little bit differently and push themselves out of a comfort zone. This is a person who had drawn a pretty firm line in the sand between the professional and the personal, and coming to the realization that perhaps it's hard to keep the personal out of the professional, and that might require a little bit of vulnerability on their part. And that person absolutely drove the conversation in that way. I was just the hopefully skillful listener and question asker to get to some kind of what's the next step in crossing into the personal and to having a little bit more vulnerability in the work. But the agenda has always been the clients.
That's fantastic.
Again,
that's the
I'm
key,
talking
yeah.
a lot here, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's good. But you're sort of really breaking it out for everybody, which is great.
And one of the things I think that what we don't create for ourselves because we're running around like crazy
yeah.
people,
yeah.
we don't give ourselves a moment of maybe I need, and certainly this was beneficial to me when I sought out a coach, I needed to kind of talk through something with someone who didn't have any skin in the game about wanting to keep me at my organization, but somebody who was objective, who could just be a trusted place where I could toss out ideas about what's the next thing that I wanted to be doing. And to be clear, I think that if you can avail yourself of coaching, it is a luxury item. It's a luxury item that not everybody has the opportunity to get because it's if you hire your own coach, it's not an inexpensive adventure. But if you can do it, if it's possible, I think it's wonderful to be able to give yourself some space to talk to an invested, objective advisor and counselor and coach to kind of tease out those next steps in your career.
Very important, absolutely. Thanks for breaking that out, too, in that way. You know, in addition to your HR and coaching work, you have another love. Tell us about your years as a playwright, some of those recent honors, and anything in development for next year we can look forward
yes,
to?
Yes, I have good news. So I've been a playwright for over 30 years. I've written 10-minute plays, one-act plays, full-length plays, adaptations, musicals. My most recent effort, and I love the imaginary world that gets created in my head and being able to put it on paper. I recently had an original children's play produced at the Growing Stage in Netcong, New Jersey this February. This was a play I had been writing for 6 years, and it finally found its way to a wonderful stage. I'm pleased to be – the play is called Maddie and Eleanor. It is about a 9-year-old girl who has a magical encounter with Eleanor Roosevelt, and the play is getting published. I'm hoping it's going to be in print. If not this month, it'll be in print in January. It's getting published by Dramatic Publishing. It's been a great love of mine. Thank you very much. I'm super excited about this work. I was an American Studies major in college, and so I love American history, and I'm a big fan of Eleanor Roosevelt. I think she is the original sort of the ultimate female role model. She really started the trend about empowering and inspiring women. So she's I'm a huge fan of hers, and it was really nice to be able to bring her to life in this sort of fictional way, but with a big historical component.
That's fantastic. Congratulations on that, Marty. That's
Thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah. You know, during the course of the conversation, the half hours go by so fast. Hopefully we'll have a chance to chat
we
more
sure
with
do.
You. But what are some other things you would love for people to take away from the conversation? And if there is somebody that's listening and maybe they are stuck, frustrated, they're in a place where they can really use the help of somebody as expert as you are, and also as compassionate and understanding and a great listener as you are, what would be some things you would recommend and you would hope your message is for them today?
My first recommendation about people who are feeling a little stuck is to start keeping a checklist by their screen of the things that give them joy in their job. When they have those moments at work, this is my big piece of advice. If you have a great moment at work, what is making that moment great and what are you doing? And then kind of do a little bit of an assessment of how many times am I having those great moments at work? And if I'm not having enough of them, what's that about? Maybe I need to get into a different situation. And if I am having a lot of them, you know, what is the ideal? What can I glean from that in terms of the ideal job and the ideal situation?
That's so important. Yeah, that really is on so many different levels. We got about 2 minutes left. Tell us about if somebody wants to work with you for the very first time, what's the procedure like? Do you do an assessment? How do you sort of coordinate that in the beginning when you're working with the clients? I know trust, of course, is paramount. Establishing the trust between you and them and you is essential in all aspects of life. In this case, tell us about some of the things that make it happen in the beginning as somebody's listening right now and considering
that. So the first thing, and this is a fairly common practice among coaches. If you want to get in touch with me, you can go through my website. I usually offer sort of a 30-minute initial conversation that's completely free of charge so that we begin to build a little bit of rapport. I understand what it is that you're coming to coaching for. I tell you a little bit about my style, and we kind of figure out if we are a match for each other. One of the things that I think is super important as a coach is not to get my ego too up or down by whether a prospective client decides to engage me or not. They may think I'm not really clicking with Marty. And I always offer that, listen, if you don't feel that I'm the right match, I do have other people in my network that I can refer you to. I always give people the option to take the next step with me if they desire to take the next step. But there's not much of a procedure about it. I mean, it's a free call. It's just an introductory call, so we sort of understand expectations. I give you a little bit of the lay of the land if you've described the problem you're trying to solve or the dilemma that you're currently in. I give you a perspective about, you know, how many sessions I think make sense from the start, and then we can reevaluate if we haven't completely sewn everything up at the end of those sessions if we want to continue. And then I'll talk to them a little bit about the contracting process, which is easy. It's just an agreement about what coaching is, which is the partnership, and what coaching isn't, is that it's therapy. Not therapy.
Yeah.
And then there's a decision. I give the option, you know, why don't you give some thought to whether you want to move forward? You know, if you feel like I'm not the right person, I'm no offense taken, and I'm certainly happy to give you names of other talented colleagues.
I want to let folks know if they want to make connection, they can go to nascentcoaching.com. That's NASCENT and then coaching. .com to connect with Marty. Marty, this was terrific. Thanks for sharing time with us here on this episode of Close Up Radio and for all the work that you do. And hope we get a chance to explore some more down the line. And you enjoy the time with me as much as I absolutely have with you today.
I had a great time, and I hope you've been well in these crazy 3.5 years, and thank you for making time for the conversation.
Absolutely. Best of the holiday season, the new year. Congratulations on the work as the playwright. That's exciting as well, and I'm sure we'll be chatting some more and expanding some more together. We look forward to that. Thank you, Marty. Our very special guest, Martha King De Silva. Marty, here on the show, nascentcoaching.com, the website. We appreciate her, and we appreciate you. I'm your host, Jim Mousters. Thanking you for your time this time. Till next time on Close Up Radio Live. Stay tuned. We'll be back in about 30 minutes with another extraordinary guest celebrated here on the program. Till then, for all of us, thanks for listening. Have a terrific day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.